Good to see you this morning as we look to God's Word. I recall just a few years ago when I was these kids' age, joke, not just a few, when I was in elementary school, a couple weeks or a month before Mother's Day, oftentimes we were given a cup with soil in and either seeds or a seedling of a flower that we would plant and then later on we would give to our mothers around Mother's Day. But the one thing I figured out back then is if they gave me marigold seedlings or seeds, I was going to get marigolds. And if they gave me cinnia seeds or cinnia seedlings, that's the flowers I was going to get. In other words, you get what you plant. Last week, Pastor Doug led in the message about King David's great fall as a leader with Bathsheba. And we saw that David, when he sowed to the flesh, he also reaped what the flesh had produced. Moreover, he reaped the consequences of his actions, even though he had confessed his sin and had been forgiven for it. You see, confession and forgiveness in no way stops the harvest. So in other words, in our lives, what we plant, the seeds that we plant, they're going to harvest something. And I hope today as we leave from here, we evaluate what seeds are we planting in our hearts and our minds today. Paul put it this way in Galatians, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man reaps, a man will reap what he sows." And so today we're going to continue on in the sermon series on David's life. We're going to look at most of 2 Samuel 13, and we're going to study this chapter, and we're going to see the continual fallout or consequences of David's sin impact his family and his life. And I've asked, today, in this service, I've asked Sharon Shear to come up. She's going to read 2 Samuel 13. I'd encourage you to follow along either in your own Bible, or we have Pew Bibles, page 264. You can follow along there. Or maybe you follow along better by not having anything in front of you. But as you listen to God's Word, you're going to see how David's sin impacted him and his family in the chapter. Okay? Thanks, Sharon.
2 Samuel 13. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, "Oh, son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house where he was lying down. And she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." But he would not listen to her, and being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence and bolt the door after her." Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore, and she laid her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. And her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar lived, a desolate woman, in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers at Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you." He pressed him, but he would not go, but gave him his blessing. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom pressed him until he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Then Absalom commanded his servants, "Mark, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then kill him. Do not fear. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." So the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom has commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. While they were on the way, news came to David, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants who were standing by tore their garments. But Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead." But Absalom fled, and the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come, as your servant said. So it has come about." And as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son day after day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom because he was comforted about Amnon since he was dead.
Sharon. This passage is not necessarily an uplifting passage, but as I was, the last couple weeks, as I was preparing for it and was reading over it, there were three things that stuck out to me that are very important for us to be on guard against. Three things that we should be on guard against as believers in Christ. And those things are, the first thing that we need to be on guard against is unchecked passions. Unchecked passions. The second one is unwise counsel. And the third one is uninvolved or passive leadership. And so as we look at this passage, even though it's a difficult one, it's difficult to read, difficult to stomach, but we can learn from it. The first one, let's look at be on guard against unchecked passions. We live in a nation that in every 68 seconds an American is sexually assaulted. That's the kind of a society that we live in. Sexual violence impacts millions of Americans. Women and girls experience sexual violence at high rates 90% of the adult victims of sexual assault are females. But even men and boys are impacted by sexual violence. 1 out of 10 rape victims are male. Our culture is inundated with sexual attraction and violence. So wise Christians, we should be on guard. We need to be on guard against these things as well as other passions that creep into our lives, because these things come slowly, but they creep in and they can overpower our lives. If you look back at David's life earlier on in chapters 11 and 12, we saw his uncontrolled sexual attraction to Bathsheba led to adultery, which led to murder. And now in 2 Samuel chapter 13, we see that unchecked passions is showing up in David's son's life as well. It says in verse 1 about it, we are introduced to Amnon, which is David's firstborn. He was probably considered to be the crown prince. If circumstances would have went differently, he might have been the next person crowned king. And then we're also then introduced to Tamar. And Tamar is introduced as Absalom's beautiful sister. Tamar and Absalom are full siblings, and King David had many wives. So Absalom, Tamar, and Amnon, who we're going to look at later, as we're going to focus on, they grew up in a polygamous marriage situation. And in those situations, full siblings, in other words, kids that were born to the same mother, were often very close compared to their stepsisters or their half-brothers and sisters. And so we're going to see the closeness of Absalom and Tamar, and then when the violence is done against Tamar, you see how Absalom responds. And so the situation here is that Amnon, it says, loved, I think it's more appropriately defined as lusted after, Tamar, his half-sister. He desires to be with her, but his desires are frustrated because she's a daughter of the king. She's a virgin, marriageable a daughter of the king. And because she was a daughter of the king, she was provided probably a bodyguard in that area, her and her other sisters. Amnon wanted to have access to her, but he was not able to have access to her. So he, following his cousin's advice, Amnon fakes he is sick. Amnon gets permission from David to have his sister come and provide food for him. But Amnon tricks his sister into being alone with him in his bedroom. That leads to him overpowering her and violating her sexually. We see, if you jump down to verses 15 through 19, we see that it says that he hated her after the act of violating her. He hated her more than he loved her. You know, sin never satisfies. We may be desiring something, and when we get it and we exercise it, if it's against God's will for our life, if it's against his statutes in the Word of God, it never satisfies. When we go around God's standards, it never satisfies. In fact, it disgusts us. And that's where we find Amnon at this point. After this happens, Tamar refuses to leave. He says, get out. And she says, I'm not going to leave. What you've done is bad, but this is even worse. You know, you don't want to become like one of the fools in Israel. But he continues to pursue, and he locks the door. He has her thrown out by his servants, and the door is locked. So Tamar, outside of the door being violated, she puts ashes on her head. She tears her royal robe that the virgin daughters of the king wore, and she communicates her grief and her mourning for the violence that was done against her. Uncontrolled passions. Let's beware of them. But this uncontrolled passion even went further, and we can skip to another passage where we see not only does it go from lust to rape, but the uncontrolled passion of revenge leads to murder. In verse 20, David hears, Absalom hears about his sister, and he provides comfort and provides shelter for her. It says that in verse 22 that Absalom refuses to talk to Amnon, that he hates his half-brother for what he has done to his full sister. And then 2 years go by. 2 years go by, and Absalom decides to host a celebration for the shearing of the sheep, kind of like a harvest party. They're shearing the sheep, and it's the harvesting of the wool. And he invites his father to come, King David, but David declines Absalom's invitation. So then he persists to go on. I'm thinking this was a plot. He probably knew David was gonna decline it, and then he requests that Amnon and his brothers attend. And after persuading David, who probably was reluctant because he knew of the feud that was between Amnon and Absalom, you know, why would you now want Amnon to be in your presence? But he reluctantly gives permission for that to happen. At this ceremony, at a prearranged time, Amnon is then killed, avenging Tamar of the Absalom avenging Tamar's sexual assault. And I'm also wondering if possibly behind the scenes, Absalom was also was maybe considering that possibly if he gets rid of his brother, that puts him next in line to be the king. I think it could have been more than just avenging his sister. You know, as we talk about this, you might say, you know, we're repulsed as we look at this. These unchecked sexual sin, unchecked revenge that leads to murder, and maybe you're thinking, you know, I don't deal with these kinds of sins. You know, I'm a pretty good person. Really? Let's see what Jesus says about that. Let's see what Jesus says. In Matthew 5, he says this: "You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman and looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You see, as men and women, we look at someone and we lust after them sexually. We, even though we may not act upon it, are, as Jesus said, we're committing adultery in our hearts. How's your thought life? What are you dealing with? You know, some of the thoughts that come in your mind you can't control per se, but what you do with those thoughts you can control. And my encouragement is for you to be on guard and how you respond to those uncontrolled thoughts that come into your mind. Secondly, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verses 21 and 22, he said, "You have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not commit murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that if anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment." In other words, he's saying the way, if we're angry at one another, our anger is as if it was murder. So again, how are you allowing God to control your passions, your anger? I think it's important. You know, and after I read these passages, I hope you and I are not as so smug to think about our goodness, because our goodness, as Scripture says, are like filthy rags. I trust that we will realize that we need to submit ourselves to God. We need to resist the temptations and resist the devil as he comes to us and draw near to him. And that's the only way we're going to win against these earthly passions that are in our hearts, and that we, by the Spirit, would allow him to uproot those passions from our heart. Okay, the first thing that this passage speaks about is being on guard against uncontrolled passions. I think the second thing it speaks about is being on guard against unwise counsel. Unwise counsel. If you look at verse 3, unwise counsel was given to Amnon. His cousin, Jonadab, was not helpful to him. He was David's nephew, Amnon's cousin. And it says in this passage that he was called friend, quote unquote friend. Later on, he's also, in that same verse, he's called a very crafty man. And this is not a compliment. This is a negative statement. He's a crafty person. One text says, one translation says he was a shrewd man. Jonadab's plan was very slick, and it was tricky, and it was, and it not only tricked Tamar, but it also tricked King David to allow Tamar to go to Amnon's house. We need to be careful who our friends are. Who are you surrounding yourself with? It's important that as we're in the world that we share the gospel with those who don't know Christ, but who are you hanging around with? Who are you spending a lot of time with? Who are you allowing to feed your thoughts or give you advice? It's really important. Be careful who you go to for counsel or what you listen to for counsel. Make sure it squares with God's word. And if it doesn't, even if it's coming from a nice person, don't heed it. Go the other way. Be careful who your friends are. King Solomon put it this way. He said, "He who walks with a wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm." Are you walking with the wise? Are you walking with the fools? It's going to make an impact on your decisions if you heed the foolish person's counsel. Not only did unwise counsel was unwise counsel given Amnon, but I believe unwise counsel was given to Tamar. After Tamar was violated, it appears that the only one that was concerned for Tamar was Absalom. And he gave her advice to hold her peace. And I think that was unwise, to hold her peace. You know, when something violent like that happens, it's not, you shouldn't sweep it under the rug. It needs to be dealt with. But he advised her to sweep it under the rug, as it were. I believe that they, Absalom and his sister Tamar, should have appealed to King David. I think that would have been wise counsel. And it would have actually forced David's hand to respond in some way to the harm done to Tamar. It appears that he didn't respond too much towards it. And it may have forced David's hand to do some justice against Amnon, to do some correction in regards to that. And I'm also wondering, what was behind Absalom's advice? Was he say, "Hey, let's not just deal with it. Let's sweep it under the rug and we'll go on." But the interesting thing is, in this context, it says Absalom didn't talk to Amnon. Absalom hated Amnon. And I'm wondering if this advice to keep things quiet was probably the fertile soil that encouraged Absalom's hatred to grow to murdering. In other words, when we just sweep things under it and we don't bring the light of the gospel and the light of the Lord to it, things fester and they go from bad to ugly to worse. So I'm wondering if that couldn't have happened in Absalom's life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "Sin wants to remain unknown. It wants to be protected. It shuns the light. In the darkness of the unexpressed, it poisons the whole being of a person. But in confession, the light of the gospel breaks through into the darkness of the heart. And then there's the possibility of transformation and renewal, because Jesus is the light and his word is powerful and he can transform. Only he can transform our hearts and make a difference in our lives." So we need to be on guard against unchecked passions. We need to be on guard against unwise counsel. And then thirdly, in this text, I believe we are encouraged to be on guard against uninvolved leadership, or what you might call passive leadership. And this crops up in David's life, and you'll see it in verse 21. It says, after the violence that was done to his daughter Tamar, there's one short little verse that says this. When King David heard of all these things, he was angry. And then it goes on. David was angry. It impacted his emotions, but there was no action done. The other thing is, David could have offered to house her instead of allowing Amnon to do that and to care for Tamar. I'm not sure what was going on in his head. There's no record that he took any action against Amnon. It's interesting, the Dead Sea Scrolls Septuagint, in other words, there's some scrolls out that were found in the Dead Sea. The Septuagint means it was written in Greek. The Hebrew passage was written in Greek. But this is what, on the verse 21, they added this, but he, David, would not punish his son Amnon because he loved him since he was his firstborn. As fathers, as parents, that's not the kind of love our kids need. Our kids need love that are truthful and caring. You know, it's so easy to be either harsh or lenient. And neither of those things are what is needed. But David here was passive in his response here. We're going to see David's passive leadership again in verse 24. David is invited to this celebration that Absalom was going to have at the shearing of the sheep. David declines going. Again, I don't think that was wise. David reluctantly gave permission for Amnon and his brothers to attend, and it was there in that situation that Amnon was killed. I wonder if David's presence at the party, had he not declined, may have stopped or thwarted Absalom's plan to kill his brother. Or maybe his absence there allowed Absalom to say, hey, you know what? Dad's not going to be here. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to get rid of my brother, and I'm going to take care of this for my sister, and then I'm going to set myself up possibly to be the king. Passive leaders avoid or delay taking necessary steps when problems arise. Passive leaders will do anything but make decisions. They'll avoid the tough decisions. And, you know, other leadership, sometimes we want to respond too quickly in harshness. But when you're passive in your leadership, you're not involved. And my question to you, each of you are leaders in your own right. Are you involved in the people's lives that you're in? Are you passive about that? Are you involved? Are you passive? You see, our families need us to be active. Our marriages need us to be active. We need to fight for our marriages, fight for our families. We need to be involved actively in our communities and in our workplaces. Let's not avoid the difficult things, the difficult subjects, the difficult conversations, but let's push on and move forward. Let's be involved. We're talking about sin. Someone said this, sin is a slippery slope that is guaranteed to take us to the absolute darkest place that we can occupy. And if we don't check that, if we don't guard against it, if left unchecked, sin will take the human heart to places that will disgust, places that will repulse, places that will nauseate us. And that's exactly where Amnon was. After he indulged in his lust, he was nauseated and he hated Tamar. And we need to be on guard against all those things. It might not be sexual sin for you. It may not be revenge or murder or anger. But if it's something else, we need to be on guard because it takes us to places that nauseate us and disgust us and repulse us. What I'd like to do today as we come to conclusion is I'd like to look at a verse that Peter shared and have this be the thing that we leave with on our minds. To be alert and of sober mind. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Let's repeat that. Would you join me and let's say it together? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This week and today, let's keep on repeating that in our minds and our hearts so that our minds and our hearts are renewed and that we're on alert. And let's be on guard against those unchecked passions that crop up in our lives. The unwise counsel. Let's be on guard against who or what we're listening to. Let's be on guard against uninvolved leadership because we are needed to be proactive leaders in our homes, in our marriages, in our churches, in our communities, in our workplaces. Today, if God is speaking to you in a particular way, make sure you respond. Don't push it away, but respond. Tell someone that can help you along in your spiritual journey. I'm going to be up front. If you want to talk with me, I'm more than happy to encourage you along your way. Also, today, if this sermon has brought something up in the past that you've never really dealt with, possibly you've been violated in some way and you've never really dealt with it, or possibly you've hurt someone in the past and you've never dealt with it. Again, reach out for help. Don't just keep sweeping it under the rug. God wants to have his gospel, the light of the gospel, to Jesus to make things new in your life, in our lives, so that we can bring glory to him. Would you bow with me in your heads and your hearts as we pray? Lord, I ask that you convict us when the flesh is creeping into our lives and when we are listening to unwise counsel and becoming very passive or complacent in our walk with you. Lord, remind us as Christians that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and that you've called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. Lord, give us the strength through Jesus to turn from sowing selfish and worldly seeds in our lives and to instead allow your Spirit to impact our lives so that we can grow in Christ-likeness. Lord, I pray that those who are still not in Christ, that they would turn to you and have the light of the gospel shine in their hearts. Help them to confess their sin and trust Christ's payment on the cross. Lord, for those of us who are in Christ and are hurting, may we find our strength alone in Jesus Christ. And may we, brothers and sisters, come alongside of us, encourage us. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.